Thank you. Lord, You are worthy of our praise. You're worthy to be exalted. You're worthy to be magnified. We are not ashamed today, but we lift our hands, we lift our voice. We declare, Jesus, you are Lord of all the earth. Jesus, you are great, you are mighty. Our God is an amazing God, Lord. Nobody like you. There's no one who can compare. We give you praise, Lord, with all of our heart, with all of our soul. We love you today. We thank you for everything that will happen this morning. We thank you, Lord, for doing miracles. We thank you that you are a miracle-working God. We thank you that there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. Family, whatever you may be facing today, maybe it looks impossible. Well, our God specializes in doing the impossible. The Bible says there's nothing that is too hard for him. There's nothing that is impossible with him. All things are possible with God. So just say, I'm with God today. And all things are possible with him. There's nothing that I'm facing that is too hard for the Lord. Say, just say, Lord, I'm looking to you today. I'm calling upon you today. You said, call upon me, and you will answer me, and you'll show me great and mighty things. Lord, I thank you for answering your people as we call upon you in faith today, as we look to you today. I thank you for doing miracles. I thank you, Lord, for turning impossible situations around. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are faithful. You are faithful, Lord. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Your word says, even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. Lord, you cannot deny yourself. We worship the faithful God. We worship the King of Kings. We give him praise today in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Come on, put your hands together. Praise the Lord, magnify him. He is worthy, he is mighty. Well, won't you please turn to someone next to you and just tell them you're glad to see them today. Welcome to here. Are you well?
Yes.
It's good to see you. It's good to be back. We're glad to be back. We were gone last week on vacation. And I tell you, I feel like I've been gone a long time. But it's only one Sunday. But I feel like it's a long time. I don't know how people miss church 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I have people come to church once in 6 weeks. I don't know how you do it. Because I'm 1 week and I can't wait to get back in church. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks for your enthusiasm this morning. We went on vacation a few days with our friends. It was the Alan Janine and the kids, Joshua, Michaela, and Brittany. And I introduced him. No, that's wrong. You started skiing. We went in Australia the first time, but then the second time we went to Cologne, Austria, excuse me, Austria. And the second time we went together. So I'll tell you more about Pastor Alan Janine. We've known him many years. He's going to be speaking today. You're going to be blessed today. You're in for a great time today, I can tell you right now. So we had a wonderful time on vacation, you know. I went and put a picture, you know, I love to ski on Facebook. Sometimes you've got to be careful what you post on Facebook. Not everybody who says they're your friends are actually your friends. Have you discovered that? Not all your Facebook friends are really your friends. Someone put a comment about it, said, oh, Pastor Steve, you're taking the church's money and you're going skiing in Colorado. Can you believe that? Good thing I didn't comment on his on his vacation pics, aren't you taking your tithes and going on holiday? But the truth of the matter is we don't use church money to go on vacation. I have other forms of income. I have a business and I travel and I've sold hundreds of you know my USB drives. And so we have other ways that the Lord blesses us. Plus, not only that, someone that a friend of mine came to me and said, you know, I can help you. If you go on vacation, I'm gonna let you go to the Marriott. On my friend, he works for the Marriott, said you can go on my friends and family rate. So we got we paid 15% of what we should have paid. You know, you can never judge a book by the cover. You make a big mistake if you judge people by their outward appearances. Amen. Yeah. So anyway, we had a good time of rest and relaxation, and the Lord provided for us. But we are glad to be back. You know, usually when I go to South Africa, I'm ministering the whole time. So I'm in church, you know, 9 times, 10 times. So I don't feel it as much. But when I go on vacation, we didn't go to church on Sunday. I think I was skiing on Sunday. I was praising the Lord down the mountain. I did watch online. I did watch the service online. You had a great time last Sunday with Clayton Jennings, right? We had a great service here with Clayton Jennings. We watched the whole service. So usually, you know, like if I go to South Africa, or most often when I'm gone, I'm ministering. But to be out of church, it feels like a long time, man. I don't know how people stay away like they do, man. I need to get... You know, when you come to church and you hear the word of God and you get in the presence of the Lord in the worship, it strengthens you. It lifts you up. It builds you up. That's why the word of God says in the book of Hebrews, it says, do not forsake the gathering and the assembling of the saints. Do not forsake it. It says, but even more as you see in the day of his return approaching, gather together and encourage one another. How many of you know when you come to church, you get encouraged? What does it mean to be encouraged? You get filled with courage. You get strengthened. There's something that happens to you. That's why it's so important to gather together with the family of God, get under the word of God every week, get fed, keep growing, stay strong. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you, the enemy would love, and he tries his very best to distract you, to distract us from what's really important. Amen? And the Bible, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. It's very important. I preached a message a few weeks back called Keep God First. You've got to keep the Lord first all the time. And that means on a Sunday, man, the Bible says don't neglect the gathering of the saints. That means I'm not going to neglect the gathering of the saints. I'm going to be up. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to be serving. I'm going to come and worship. I'm going to come hear the word of God. I'm going to bring somebody with me. That's what God wants from us. Can you say amen? Do you agree with that? Give the Lord a hand of praise today. Do you agree with that?
By that, what enthusiasm, what a fire and a passion for souls, right? I love it, it's catchy.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
You want to welcome our visitors today?
We're very glad that you've come to church this morning. I can't wait to get up here and turn around and see your faces. You look very good this morning, so glad that you're here. And we want to welcome those who are visiting for the first time. We love having visitors. We have visitors every week, and maybe you feel a little uncomfortable because it's kind of new to you, but we want you to just relax. It's a very, very friendly congregation. I'm sure that you're going to enjoy the service, and we just want to welcome you by giving you a gift. So if you are here for the first time, we're not going to ask you to stand or say anything or embarrass you in any way. We'd just like to hand you a gift right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? God bless you. Welcome. Welcome. Just wave your hand. A gift bag, and if you just take a moment and fill out that white card that's in there, hand it in when the offering bag comes by, and we will give you a call, find out how you enjoy this service, and thank you for doing that. Praise the Lord. Would you like to say something?
No, I think I will take my seat now.
Well, family, so good to be in church with you this morning. I love that time of worship. Don't you? I mean, when you sing about, I love that we look back and we look at what Jesus did for us and what he's doing for us in the future. We think about his coming. Then we begin to praise God and forget about all these other things that go on around us, right? When Jehoshaphat, when they were facing all kinds of trouble, when they went to pray to the Lord, the first thing he did is he reminded God of the things that God had done in the past. You know, sometimes when you're in a difficult situation, you just got to go, I found myself doing this. And I look back and I think, man, God is faithful. He delivered me then, he'll deliver me now. He provided for me then, he'll provide for me now. So we've got a lot to thank the Lord for this morning. Amen?
Amen.
And right now we're going to take time in the service. We're going to have an opportunity to continue worshiping God by giving into the house of God. Amen. And there are envelopes on the seats right where you're sitting. I just want to read a scripture from Proverbs. And perhaps you know this, Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first and best part of all your income. Then your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with fresh wine. I love the word of God because he gives us instruction that's going to make a difference in our lives. Amen? Amen. And right here it's talking about finances. And I just want to tell you three things out of this verse. The first one is, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth. So as we tithe and as we give offerings, we are honoring God. Not just with our worship, but with our giving. We are honoring God. And the dictionary says that to honor means to show high respect or to show reverence. And so family, you know, it's not just a material financial thing that we do when we give our tithes and offerings, but it is worship, and it is reverence, and it is honoring to God. Amen? And the second thing is, the Bible says, honor God with your wealth and with your first and your best. So the way that we display that God is our priority, God is first. We all say that. We say, God is first in my life. Amen? Say that. Say, God is first in my life. And one of the ways we display that God is a priority is by giving him our first our best. Proverbs is filled with wisdom. Give God your first and your best. That's the way you honor him. And thirdly, it says when we honor God by following his guidelines and following his plan for our life and his word, he brings overflow in our lives. Amen. And so we can know that we can trust him today, just like we trust him that he takes care of us today, that he protects us, that he protects our families, all the things we pray about. We can trust that God will bring overflow into our lives when we follow his word concerning giving. Amen? And so there's various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen, but you can go ahead and give by debit or credit, check, cash, however you want to, or with our Secure Give app. And right now, as we do that, we're going to pray, because this is part of our worship. We're going to pray over our offering. Amen? So just hold that in your hands. Pastor Alan's going to have to work to get some response back here this morning. I bet you can do it. Praise God. Well, you hold that in your hand. Let's honor the Lord. Father, we come before you today, and the reason we honor you is because you are everything to us, Lord. Everything we have comes from you. Nothing we have is beside you, Father God. And so we honor you today with our first and with our best. And we say we love you, and you are the priority. We give you reverence and honor today and respect, Lord. And Father, I thank you that for your word that promises us that there is a return on our giving, that you will cause our barns to overflow and new wine and our storehouses to be filled, Father. So I pray for every person in this place today, Father, as they honor you with their tithes and their offerings. I thank you, Father, that even if they take in a step of faith today, Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are their provider. You are more than enough. That you give us today our daily bread, that you always provide for us, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, ushers. You can go ahead with that.
You must come to the Christian Growth Seminar.
It's opened up a whole new world in the Bible. I've gone to church all my life.
I thought it was incredibly awesome, life-changing.
Pastor Steve is amazing. He makes it so easy and so understanding.
It's really powerful. I learned so much in a short period of time. And I've been a Christian for a number of years, and surprisingly, in every section, there was something to be learned.
I have been a seeker of truth for as long as I can remember, and I have learned more in this experience than I have the whole time in my many years.
I thought it was phenomenal. I loved it. Pastor Steve Barry is a wonderful teacher. He explains things that created in me a new hunger and a fire for more of God's Word.
So, this is my second time doing the Christian Growth Seminar. Wonderful. I recommend it for anyone. I want to tell you that you learn. I know you might have heard this over and over again, but Pastor Steve, he has a way of explaining the scriptures to you that you never even imagined it was that way. So, I recommend it highly.
Pastor Steve is a wonderful teacher. He brings a lot of clarity and depth of experience to his teaching. We just enjoyed the class thoroughly. It refreshed our Christian walk, and we grew closer to each other, actually, as a couple. So we're very grateful for the class.
Something I've been guilty of a long time is not going to a class like this, but I really enjoyed it. It was really very, very educational. I would recommend it to any new Christian, old Christian, anybody that wants to further their faith.
And let's just say there's more fire. I've been reading to the Word more than ever, and it's just been incredible. I don't want it to end.
I've been attending church for years and years and years, but attending this Christian Growth Seminar really just gave me a deeper understanding, the way he explains things and the way he is so no-nonsense about how he presents the Word of God.
Some things I knew and he expanded on. Other things came as a surprise.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I have been afflicted with something since I've been a child, and I'm now 73 years old. And it's been lifted because he said, if you are a believer, instead of not thinking you're worthy, God has forgiven you, and claim now that you want this miracle to happen in your life. And as he was preaching it, I did it, and the miracle happened. I know it sounds crazy, but it happened. I have joy, I have peace for the first time in my life.
Incredibly awesome. Most definitely I would recommend it to anybody and everybody.
It's really necessary, and it's really a wonderful thing. So I'm really glad I decided to do this course.
I would invite all your friends, if I were you, to come and share this experience.
Please make sure you do attend this class, because you're going to understand things that could take you years and years to understand otherwise. It'll cut through a lot of questions for you. So I really suggest this for your growth.
And I recommend it to everybody.
I think it was well worth coming to.
Really, really enjoyed it, and I would suggest this class for anybody.
Praise the Lord. Now, all those folks were talking about our Christian growth. We call it our Christian Growth Seminar. Can we bring all the house lights, everything up? Thank you. How many of you have been to the Christian Growth Seminar? Wave your hand up if you've been. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Checking out those people who don't have their hands raised up. How many of you who have done the class, if you lifted your hand, would recommend for somebody to come and do that class? Right? Now, we were supposed to start the Christian Growth Seminar on this Tuesday. Right? But I've decided to delay it just for a couple of weeks, because I want to give everyone that hasn't done it a chance to sign up and enroll for this. Now, as you heard it said, this is a four Tuesday night Bible study that I teach. And really, it is life-changing. We have people that come into the class that are new Christians, and we have people that have come into the class that have been Christians for 20 years. And I can't tell you how many people have said to me, Pastor Steve, I've been a Christian for 20 years, and I learned more in the 4 nights from the Christian Grow Seminar than I learned my whole Christian life. The first time I heard that, I thought they were just being nice. You know, I thought, oh, that's nice. But I've heard it so many times. I mean, literally hundreds of times, that I begin to realize it must be true. So if you haven't been through the Christian Growth Seminar, I want to encourage you. Ushers, I need you to help me today. You need to register. It's a free class. I want to start it on the 21st. I don't want to start it on the 14th, because that may not be a good day, the 14th of February, to start the class, being Valentine's Day and all. So I'm going to delay it to the 21st of January and
February.
Excuse me, the 21st of February, thank you. And, you know, here's the thing. Some of the things you're going to learn on the class. Number one, you are going to learn how to know for sure that you are a child of God, and when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I can't think of anything more important of knowing for sure than that. You're going to know the tenets of your faith. You're going to learn about baptism. What is the significance of baptism? You're going to have an opportunity to get baptized. You're going to learn about how to pray. How to see results when you pray. How to pray and see your prayers answered. You're going to learn about how to receive the power and ability of God in your life. How to live your life with His ability, not just your ability. You're going to learn how to walk in God's financial blessing. You're going to learn how to find your place in the kingdom of God. I mean, there's so many things that you'll learn on this four-week class. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet done this class, you really need to do it. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
I'm holding off for you. Tell your neighbor, this is for you. I'm waiting for you. Ask them, have you done the Christian Girl Seminar? Ask them, have you done the Christian Girl Seminar? Come on, ask them, have you done the Christian Girl Seminar? If they say no, say, this is for you. This is your opportunity. So the ushers, we have James and your team, you have the registration cards. If you say, Pastor Steve, I want to come and do the class, please lift your hand up right now. James is going to get you a registration card. We need to know how many people to expect. We need to prepare. We have manuals that we have printed. And so if you haven't done this class, your hand should be up right now. All those people who didn't put your hands up, your hand should be up now. I know you did. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to people other than Jim. You've already registered. All right, good. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, this is very unusual for me not to be preaching for 3 weeks in a row. I can't even remember the last time that happened. It's like never happens, does it? We had Mike Francine 2 weeks ago. And then last week we had Clayton Jennings. And so we saved the best for last today. We have my good friend, Pastor Dr. Alan Bagg, and his wife Janine from South Africa. Now, we've known them, we've been friends with them for many years. Pastor Alan and I first met back at Pastor Theo's church. We were on staff with Pastor Theo in Christian Family Church in Johannesburg. And so I left Pastor Theo in 1991. So that's 26 years ago. So we probably have known each other close on 30 years. It must be 29 or 30 years that we've known each other. And then we went out, the Lord called us to start a church in Cape Town in 1991. And then I think 3 years later, the Lord called Pastor Alan and Janine to start a church on the other side of the city in Cape Town. Their church is on the other side of the bay. It's called the Bay Christian Family Church, about 40 minutes from where we were. And so we would get together usually pretty much almost every Monday was our day off, and we'd get together and maybe have lunch and encourage one another and talk about the things of God. And so we've been friends with them for a very long time, and they have a wonderful church in Cape Town, the Bay Christian Family Church. In fact, I think they have like 4 campuses, is that right? 5 campuses? They have five different campuses, and a large church, and God's done great things. And usually when we go back to South Africa every October, we go to the conference at Christian Family Church Johannesburg, where all the, you know, there's 450 Christian Family Churches around the world. In fact, I don't know if you know, but we just planted a Christian Family Church in Cuba. Isn't that great? We're opening Christian Family Church in Cuba. That's great, isn't it? Praise God. Let me tell you, God's moving in Cuba. If you can get past the politics and get into the spiritual realm, God is moving in Cuba. And so anyway, we're glad to be part of Christian Family Church, and we're so glad to have Pastor Alan and Janine here with us and their family, their kids, their awesome kids. Joshua, Michaela, and Brittany, all involved. Joshua plays the drums at church. Michaela is very involved in children's ministry. I'm not sure if she runs the children's ministry, but just about she runs the children's ministry, right? Full time in children's ministry. And Brittany is, I think, in media ministry. And Brittany's getting married this year. In October, I think, right? Coming up, getting married. Praise God. Give her a big hand. She's excited about that. Her fiance is missing her terribly. I see all the posts on Facebook. He's pining like crazy. They actually met at CrossFit. Any CrossFitters here? They met at CrossFit, and then he gave his life to the Lord, and he's on fire for God, and he's growing like crazy. And so, you never know where you're going to meet your husband or your wife. Don't rule anything out. Hello? Like my oldest daughter, Robin. She and her husband, they've been married 10 years now, but they met at when she was working as a hostess at a restaurant. I think she was about 16 or 17 years old, and he was valet parking. He was the valet parker. And they met. He wasn't a Christian. He didn't grow up in a Christian home, and so he wasn't a Christian, and came from a good family, but didn't know the Lord. And so I always, I said to the girls, you might meet someone who's not a Christian, but don't start dating him until he is. Don't start dating him until he is. Because you'll end up having problems with your father-in-law. I'm not talking about your natural father-in-law. I'm talking about your spiritual father-in-law. Jesus said to the religious leaders, you're of your father, the devil. Do you know that when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you are delivered from the kingdom of darkness. You are translated into the kingdom of light. The Spirit of God recreates you. You become a brand new person. You are born again, and God becomes your Father. And do you know that until you make Jesus the Lord of your life, that you're in the kingdom of darkness and that the devil is your father? You're either in one kingdom or in one family, you're in the other. And so if you meet someone and they're not, I don't know why I'm saying this, but if you meet someone and they're not a Christian, don't rule it out. It doesn't mean that God can't work in them. It doesn't mean it's not your, it might be your husband, it might be your wife, but don't start dating them until you're sure that they're serving the Lord. Because the next thing, you get all in love with them, and then you have problems. The Bible says that don't be unequally yoked. Light and darkness cannot mix. So my daughter Robin, first thing she did, she brought Brian to church. And he's a little shy, and so when I gave the invitation for salvation for people at the end of the service, for people to receive the Lord, he didn't put up his hand. And so after the service, we went back to our house, and I think we had some lunch, and he said, I really wanted to put my hand up, but I was too shy. And so I led him to the Lord at home in my study. He accepted Jesus as Lord, and then he got baptized. And then he came into the Christian Growth Seminar. And you know what now? My daughter, Robin and Brian, are pastors, service pastors at Hillsong LA. So, don't ever hold, I'm not saying that you might meet someone like Brittany did at CrossFit, but before you give your heart away, make sure they've given their heart to the Lord. And amen? So anyway, that was quite an introduction, but I want you, he doesn't need it, to give a big welcome to Dr. Alan Dagg this morning.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up our voices and give Jesus praise. Can we do that? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Well, good morning, everybody. Are you well and blessed? Full of the Lord? Blessed by the best. Amen. So good to be in the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of God. That's why I just love wherever two or three are gathered, there he is in our midst. It's not about a building or where you meet. It's about people that know God and love God coming together and seeing his presence. Amen. And so it's so good to be here. Thank you so much to Pastor Steve and Jill for inviting us and receiving us. We love them dearly, but they're easy to love, isn't it? They're such a dear couple, and we've known them for many years, as you said. And just thank God for what they're doing. Thank you for never giving up, Pastor Steve. You know, you and Jill, you've been through some of the ringers, but that's when you're serving the Lord Jesus. The devil hates what goes on in the kingdom of God. But you know, the word says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So if the gates of hell can't stop it, no demon's going to stop it. And if no demon can stop it, no man is going to stop it. Man will do their best by the influence of Satan to try and stop the work of God. But just like when Abraham negotiated with God, if there are just 50 righteous, 40, 30, 20, as long as there are enough righteous standing in a city, the church will continue to grow. People will come and go, but the church will never go. Amen. And you are the church. And so thank you for sticking with your pastors. I know that you're going through a challenging phase, but it's a stepping stone. And it's to greater things. Bible says, never despise small beginnings. The end of a matter is greater than its beginning. And God is not done yet. He's not done until it's all done. Amen. And so as long as we keep going and stay continuous, and that's true in our own personal lives as well, is that we stand firm. When we talk about our children, my wife and I, we're both told by doctors, neither one of us can produce children. They still think it's not possible. In fact, my test got gradually worse and worse and worse. But all three children of our own loins. Come on, give Jesus praise. Amen. So we serve a living God. We serve a real God. We serve a God that is true to his word. How many came expectant this morning? Now, expectancy is the key to receiving. Amen. Someone says things, I dare you to bless me. Well, it's not going to happen. It's open when you look. Thousands of people touched Jesus. Everybody wanted to get near the famous man. Everybody wanted selfies with him. Oh, hang on, that was 2,000 years ago. Okay, but you know what it was like. Everybody wants to touch the famous guy. But one woman said, I'm going to push through the crowd. And today, I'm getting what I came for. And she went home healed. Amen. You ready to receive? Let's stand together and pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious love and your precious grace. Thank you that you loved us first. And out of that great love, you reached out towards us and you saved us. Today, we can be called children of God because of the precious blood of Jesus. And so as we stand here, we come to hear from heaven. And so I make it publicly known, I put no trust in myself as a limited human being, but I do put all my faith in you as I humbly submit myself under your mighty hand, that I may speak only that which you've given me to speak. And I speak it with clarity and accuracy by your unction, by your anointing, that you would carry your word forth and ignite it with your presence and take it deep into the heart of every hearer which causes faith to rise and dispels every form of fear. As minds are renewed to your word, understanding replaces confusion. And I believe that every one of us today will leave here today transformed and changed from glory to glory. And for this we give you alone all the praise and honor in the name of Jesus. And if you already received it, you shout amen.
Amen.
Praise God. As you see the note in the Bible, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. How are you excited about this year ahead of us?
Yes.
I mean, you know, 2016 came to an end, and I had the Lord deal with me at the end of last year, 2015, going into 2016. Every New Year's Eve service, we have a tremendous New Year's Eve service. We meet at 10 o'clock on the 31st of every December, and we're going to midnight, and it is our most popular service of the year. It is packed out, standing room only. Our overflow rooms are overflowing. And the Lord gives us a prophetic word for the year. And over the years, I always came to the end of the year. I said, how many of you glad 2015's over? Of course, everyone, yeah, we're all glad. Kick it behind, you know, I'm fed up with the year. Give me a new year to start with. And the Lord dealt with me at the end of last year, as I said, the beginning of last year, that not to do that. Not to say, I'm so glad the year's over, because whenever we enter into a new year, we enter into it with expectancy. We say, God's going to do great things and miracles are going to happen. My life's going to be turned around. It's going to be transformed. And we're expecting the year to be great. And then by the end of the year, we just want to dump it. And so instead of doing that, I motivated myself by faith after the Lord dealt with me on that, as well as our congregation. Get expectant about the year, but realize that God uses that year. If you stay expectant and you stay faithful and you stay committed to God and you stay wanting to see the best things of God, God's going to take you through a journey. And yes, the enemy is going to try and stop you, and he's going to throw all kinds of things at you. But something I found out, that no matter what the enemy meant for harm, if you with God, he will turn it around for his glory. And the very thing the devil thought would stop you, God uses as a propellant to hit you higher than you would have been if that problem wasn't there. And so when I look back on 2016, I say, yes, it was tough. There were some hard times. We went through some difficulties. But praise God for that. God's not going to restart the year and start everything again. All the good that came out of last year, he's going to use it to propel me to even greater heights next year. How many of you are excited about that? How many of you want to see God move me to greater things? And so as I started praying, I heard the Lord talking to me about walking closer with God. Walking closer with him. If we walk with God. Remember Enoch walked with God, and then he was, and then was not, because God took him. Now, I don't believe it's our desire to be taken before we finish with our assignment. Yeah, it's not like every goal of every Christian is to get so close to God that one day you disappear. No, we want to get close to God so we hear his voice, he guides us, he leads us, and he directs us. Because if we're walking with God, we will work with God. Jesus was successful because he did only what he saw his father do. He only said what he heard his father say. And if we want to see miracles like Jesus in our lives, we can have the same if we walk really close with God. And the Lord said to me, if you can trust me to walk that way, I will take you into double portions. How many of you know that last year was declared a year of acceleration from Apostle Theo? Well, I heard acceleration on acceleration. Because if you're already accelerating, God's not going to slow down. Oh, come on. God's not going to put the brakes on. He's going to take us into greater portions. So I'm looking for that double portion of God's blessing. We live in an abundant covenant. We live in a covenant that God has given us. How do you know what a covenant is? You know, today in our Western world, we kind of lost sight of what a covenant is. A covenant really is a contract, but if we think of contract in our westernized minds, it's still a very weak agreement. Because a contract is only as strong as the two people that want to be in it. A contract is an agreement between two parties where you agree, you bring something, I bring something, you're going to pay something, I'm going to pay something, you get something, I get something. We agree on those statutes. But if somebody doesn't want to be part of the contract anymore, there are always legal loopholes to try and get out of that. But a covenant is an eternal contract. A covenant is sealed in blood. And thank God the covenant is not between me and God, because I've already been known to fail. See, that was the problem with the first covenant. It was between God and man always failed. But that was to show us that we could never do it on our own. When Jesus came, God made the covenant between him and Christ. And God the Father is not a man that he would lie, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that covenant between the two of them will never be broken. Nothing you do can ever break the covenant of Jesus Christ with the Father. Isn't that good news? You see, when I came into fellowship with God, when I received him as the Lord and Savior, the covenant was already established. I just came into fellowship with it. My sin can't break the covenant. All that can happen is when I sin, I may come out of fellowship. I step out of fellowship with the covenant, but the covenant never breaks. Thank God for 1 John 1:9 that if I confess my sin, God is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all sin. And the moment I say, Lord, I messed up, I ask you to forgive me, he's not waiting for me to pay penance. The moment you say, please forgive me, he forgives you, and you come right back into fellowship, and that covenant is still as strong as the day God made it with Jesus. It's an eternal covenant. And it's an eternal covenant of blessing. It's a covenant of provision. It's a covenant of protection. It's a covenant of health. It's a covenant of supply. It is a covenant that God has blessed you and me with. But whatever God gives us must be received by faith. Have you know the day Jesus died on that cross, he said, it is finished. That means all of mankind had opportunity to be saved. It's not God's will that any should perish. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Why? He wanted to save the world. So technically, the world is saved. I said, technically, the world is saved. There's nothing more Jesus can do to save anybody. The world is saved, yes? And yet someone died last night and went to hell. How did that happen? Because it had to be received by faith. God has done it. He's done everything he can do. But when you receive it by faith, the salvation manifests. The same way you are healed. You are healed. The Bible says by Jesus' stripes you have been healed. If you've been healed, then you are healed. Yes? So if I am healed, then how come I had sickness after being saved? Because I had to receive it by faith. It had to be received to manifest. Well, the same way, the blessing is yours. You are blessed. You are blessed. Galatians 3, 13, 14 tells us that Jesus, even though he was blessed, he became, even though he was righteous, he became sin for us. The Bible says he became a curse for us, because it's written, cursed is he who hangs on the tree, so that the blessing of Abraham may come upon us also. So even though we were cursed, Jesus took the curse on the cross, and in dying with the curse, he opened the blessing for you and me. So when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are blessed. Say, I am blessed. So you're not waiting for the blessing to happen. You are already blessed.
Amen.
And someone says, well, I beg to differ, Pastor, and I'm not sure I can see that in my life. Well, thank God I'm here today. Because we're going to step in how to see that blessing manifest in your life. How many want more than you ever had before because you have the kingdom of God in your mind and you want to see the kingdom of God expand? See, Mark chapter 4, Jesus was teaching on the power of the seed. And he says in verse 28, the kingdom of God is as if a man. Now bump your neighbor and say, we're about to learn how the kingdom of God works. Now this is how the kingdom works. He says, the kingdom of God is as if a man scatters seed on the ground. He goes to sleep by night, he rises by day, the seed sprouts and grows. He himself does not know how. I'm glad Jesus said that. I'm glad I don't have to figure out how the thing works. How are you glad you don't have to know how your vehicle works to get in and drive it? I mean, imagine if every time you got in, you had to try and figure out how to reconnect everything in the car. No, you just have to press start and then it starts. Isn't that right? Yes. So the same way Jesus is saying it, you don't have to worry about how it works. He says the man himself does not know how the seed sprouts and grows. The earth itself yields the crop. First the blade, then the ear, after that the grain in the ear. And then when the grain ripens, he puts in the sickle, for the harvest has come. Everybody say harvest.
Harvest.
Now harvest, you understand when you talk about harvest, you're talking more than just yourself. I don't know if anyone's ever tried this. You go down to the grocery store and you can buy seeds, packets of tomato seeds. A translation, tomato. Anyone ever tried to plant tomatoes at home? You know, some people have, and it's really, it's quite a challenge to get decent tomatoes out of that. But how many know when somebody plants tomatoes in their backyard, they're not thinking of the community. When those tomatoes come up, you can hardly call that a harvest. Harvest is thinking of the community. Yes, the farmer will benefit from the harvest, but the reason he's in farming is not just for himself. It's for everybody else. And Jesus said the harvest is ready. It is ripe. The only thing lacking are the workers. Pray that the Lord raise up laborers. In other words, Jupiter, this entire region, is ready for the harvest. It's not like we try to convince people to get saved. As far as Jesus is concerned, they already are ready. We just have to be able to reach them. Oh, come on, can I get a bigger amen? See, when I got that revelation, I started treating everybody as if they're already saved. I talk to people like they already go to church. I don't first find out, are you in church or not, and then adjust the way I approach people. I always approach people with the love of Christ, talk to them about God, and talk to them about, you know, Christian matters. And then sometimes you get people say, well, I'm not religious. I said, well, thank God, neither am I. So let's continue the conversation. Amen. There is a Father who loves you. Let me introduce you to Him. And so the city is waiting to get saved. But we have to be able to reach that city. The same way a farmer wants to feed the community, his little bag of seed might make him a bit of bread, but it's not going to help reach the community. He has to be harvest-minded to be able to reach the community. And everything we have in the kingdom of God comes from seed. Everything. Everything in your life today that you have, that you are, that you're doing, originated out of seed. Even God, when He created the heavens and the earth, said, and Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the word is seed. So God had to give forth seed in order to bring into life this creation. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for seed. Our very existence is seed. So what I have today in my life is the result of seed sown yesterday. Now sometimes when you hear that for the first time, it's agitating because what are you blaming me for everything? No, and some of it may be through ignorance. Other people may have caused problems in our lives as well. But whatever I have today, if I have anything, I can never ever look at someone else and be jealous of what they have, because what they have came out of seed. So if I'm not happy with where I am, and I realize that my seed of yesterday created my today, I may not like where I am right now, I may be upset with it, I may be stupid seed, things I did wrong that I shouldn't have done, but I have a control over my future. I can readjust my future with my seed. You literally, your seed is a prophetic word. It realigns your future. See, when I don't sow today, I literally schedule lack in my future. A farmer can't stand in an empty field and get all upset with God because he didn't get a crop. Because if he didn't put seed in there, he's, you know, Lord, please, you've got to give me a crop. And if you do, I'll give some of the seed back. It doesn't work like that. A farmer knows you have to make the sacrifice of seed first. And then you will see the harvest in your future. And so I can decide on the future I want, and I can adjust my seed accordingly. Amen. And we want to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's going to take major resources to do that. Major resources. You know, people always wonder why, the church necessarily talks about money. Someone said to me, the gospel is free. So is water. Water. I once went into a store and I asked for water. It was in Texas. And the person stood and looked at me, what? I said, water. And they said, what is that? I said, it's clear liquid in a bottle. And they still couldn't get it, so they called someone over. I said, H2O? And the other person said, oh, water. I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly from the Texan, but it was there that we draw water. Yeah, that water, that's what I wanted. So, we understand that. Why did I mention water? Water's free, that's right. Now, you pay for it in the bottle, isn't that right? But it is free. If you think about it, next time it rains, go put a bucket outside. And leave it there long enough, you'll get a few glasses of water free. You take your bucket, go down to the creek, you can go get quite a bit of water. All free. So then why do we pay a water bill? Because to get it to where you want it, when you want it, that costs money. You're not paying for the H2O. You're paying for the pipes. You pay for the chemicals to clean it. You pay for the staff to oversee that. It does cost money to get water where you want it, when you want it. And you know, today we could have met in a park somewhere. Yeah. I don't know if everybody would have been here that are here today. We like to be in a place, particularly newcomers, want to be in a place where it's comfortable. Want decent sound. It's terrible if the sound keeps breaking and you can't hear the guy speaking and the lights keep going out. No, we understand that we shouldn't. That's not the reason we want to hear the gospel. But we want it comfortable so that we can concentrate on the word. And when people hear the word in the right atmosphere, they give their life to Jesus. You're getting this? So to reach out and reach through the airways, through television, that all costs finances. And God has given us the privilege of being a part of making that happen. So that we can, when you see the harvest coming in of souls, that's why I don't see it as an offering as necessary just to get me rich. That's not the purpose for it. It's so that I can reach getting someone else saved. In the beginning, I needed a lot of help. I'm just saying amen to that. I need to get out of debt. I need to get my bills paid. But praise God, He delivered me. Today, it's about reaching more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so He says here that we can expect a harvest. How many of you know the harvest is far greater increase than just if you planted in the backyard? See, there's different methods of increase. How many you want to increase? Can I see your hand? See, if you don't want to increase, then I do apologize. You took a wrong turn somewhere. You know, I can't be blamed for your increase as a result of this message. But God has planned increase for you. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? The things that Gentiles are looking for. What to eat, what to drink, what to wear. He says, you don't even have to worry about those things. Don't even think about it. I mean, the birds, look at the birds. They don't even sow or reap. Isn't that interesting? Sowing and reaping is the privilege of the human. Oh, hallelujah. Because we are children of God. God works through sowing and reaping. He lost His family, and so He sowed a son. Jesus called Himself a seed. Unless a seed falls in the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll produce a great harvest. And so, seed sowing is your or my privilege. So the birds don't sow a seed, yet your Father feeds them. And Jesus said, are you not more important than a bird? Isn't it interesting? It doesn't matter how poor a person is. You get the poorest of poor, the people that poor people call poor. That poorest person still has clothes. Isn't that interesting? No one is so poor that they're naked. Now, it may not be the clothes they want. It may not be design and label. It may not be clean, but they always have clothes. They had something to eat. The fact that they're alive, they have eaten recently. May not have been today, But God still made sure they got food. They slept somewhere. Are you getting a hold of this? And yet God wants to take you further than that. Because he says when you make the kingdom of God your priority, these things will be added to you. Now, how many know addition is increase? Well, 2 plus 2. You need a calculator? Plus 2. Let me hear. Plus 2. Plus 2. Plus 2. Are we increasing? Plus 2. Oh, we almost lost that one. How many of you think you could keep sticking with me if we kept going? Plus 2. Okay, so we could keep going, isn't that right? But there is a more powerful method of increase, multiplication. What's 2 times 2? But that's the same as 2 plus 2. Times 2? Oh, we jumped one. Times 2? Times 2? Times 2? Times 2? Times 2? Times 2? Times 2. Okay, now we're losing some people, isn't that right? It suddenly got very big, very quickly. Multiplication. How do you prefer multiplication to addition? Well, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us create man in our image, and according to our likeness, let them have dominion." Bump your name and say, "You'll be created to be just like God." And he said, according to our likeness, verse 27, so God created man in his image he created him, male and female he created them. Verse 28, and God blessed them and said. See, the blessing is a spoken word. How do you know when God speaks it is? When he said, light be, what happened? Light was. So God calls things that are not as though they are, and when he says they are, then they are. It's done. So when he blesses man, this is exactly what happened to man. He said, be fruitful, multiply. Multiply. Have you thought about that? I mean, this man has just been created. He's just taken his first breath. He's opened his eyes, probably looking straight at God because God's just breathed into him. And the very first words he hears is multiply. What has God got on his mind? God expects us to increase. God has designed you for increase. In fact, Jesus one day was addressing, he gave a parable of a tree that wasn't producing, and he spoke to the guy who was looking after it and said, that tree's taking up space, it's not producing, tear it out. And the guy said, just give me another year with it, I'll nurse it, I'll look after it, and if after a year it doesn't produce, then we'll tear it out. Notice what Jesus said. It's not producing, tear it out. God wants to see you increase. God has designed you to multiply. Amen. Amen. Everybody say multiply. Multiply. Now notice he said to Adam that as to multiply, he gave him dominion over all creation. Literally, man owns creation. You go to Genesis chapter 14, you will see an encounter here. Abraham had just rescued his nephew Lot, and they had conquered kings and got all the spoil from that. And he's got all the spoil from this war, this battle, all the wealth. And the first thing he does after accruing all this wealth is he reports to his priest. Isn't that interesting? Most people take their wealth and first go to the investing broker. First thing he did is go to his priest. And you see in verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, he was priest of God Most High, brought out bread and wine. Everybody say covenant. Isn't that the covenant meal? This is a covenant encounter. So he brought out bread and wine, and then he blesses Abram and says, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Now, when he said, blessed be God Most High, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, when I first read that as a young Christian, I saw possessor of heaven and earth, I thought he was referring to God. But you notice it says, and blessed be God. So there's two people being blessed. after and is describing God, before and is describing Abram. Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. He's calling Abram the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, just to confirm that, you can come and have a look at Psalm chapter 8, verse 4. David writes this, is what is man that you mindful of him? The son of man that you would visit him. For you created him just a little lower than God. Now, I know some translations say angels. That's a Jewish tradition. It's not an accurate translation. Because if you go look, if you've got a good Bible, you normally have a number or a letter next to the word Elohim. If you have an electronic Bible, chances are your word Elohim has a little mark or number, whatever. Hit on that, it'll pop up a little screen, and it gives you the word for angels there. And the original Hebrew word written by David is Elohim. Elohim. Everybody say Elohim. Elohim. Now, Elohim is a Hebrew word that is used in Genesis 1 verse 26. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image. Now, we know that's God. It wasn't angels said, let us make man. God said, let us make man in our image. Means you created like God. Now, don't get me wrong. There is only one God. Only one supreme sovereign God. No one will ever take his place. But he is your father and you are his son and daughter. Oh, come on. If a dog gives birth to something, what would you expect? Little kittens? No, you expect something that looks like the original. Isn't that right? And you are a son of God. You are children of the Most High God. You are begotten of God. You are born of God. And if you create like God, he is sovereign supreme. We'll never be there, but you are created just a little lower than him. Can you see now? I really believe that why the translator put in angels is just really a nervous understanding of theology. It's difficult to say we're just a little lower than God. But the Bible says very clearly that we are created in his image. We're born of him. Amen? Amen. You are of a God species. That's your DNA. Now look at the next verse. It says, you created him. That's the purpose. Why was man created? To worship God. No, the angels were already worshiping him. The reason we created, he says, yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. We do worship him. Yeah, yeah. Amen. God ordained praise, but the purpose of it is to silence the enemy. To give God glory and honor. Amen. Amen. But the purpose, the reason man was created, what does the Bible say? To have dominion over all the works of your hands. You were created. In other words, God made all this creation for you. God didn't need creation. He already existed in eternity. He created the natural realm so that you could have it and have dominion over it. Is that good news? Yes. So you go back to Genesis 14. Now you understand. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. And what's the response of Abraham? Look at verse 20. He gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. That was a covenant response. Amen. It wasn't out of law. He never had a law. He wasn't doing it to buy the blessing. He just found out he is blessed. He wasn't tithing to get blessed. You are blessed, Abraham. You possess heaven and earth. What's his response? He honors God with his tithe. Can you see that? What is a tithe? Well, it's not a religious word. It really is an old English word. It's an old English word that means basically 10%. 10% off. So if someone earned $100, what would 10% of that be? Do you need a calculator for that? You don't. It's really easy, isn't it? Whatever number you're looking at, 100, you start with 1, and then you have a 0 and a 0. Your far right figure, if you want 10%, just take the right figure away, and you've got 10%. It doesn't have to be worked out. Some people work it out and they go, you know, you see some people, it's $1,257.69. Really, just take the last zero and there's your tile. You have to figure it out with the calculator. Amen. If someone earned $1,000, what would the tile be? Wow, they learn quick, yeah. Amen. That if someone earned $5,000, what would be the tithe? $500. Let's try something difficult. $57,340. What's the tithe? $5,734. You round it up to six. That's what I do. Amen. Just make it real simple. Someone says, whoa, but that's a lot of money. No, it's still 10%. That's the powerful thing about our God. That even if somebody earned $1 million, his tithe would be $100,000. But if someone picked up $10 this week and brings in $1, he gets the same advantage as the one who brought in $100,000. Come on, you've got to give Jesus praise. You see, when you understand this, this whole concept of covenant response. Everybody say, covenant response. Then that, you know, that's why when people start, isn't tithe Old Testament? Is it an under the law? Should Christians be tithing? That question always gets me. Should Christians tithe? That's like asking, do I have to kiss my wife? Excuse me. I get to kiss her. Amen. It's the most dangerous place on the planet between me and my wife. If you're trying to get against us. Amen. I get to kiss her. I adore her. I love her. I get. Come on, are you with me? Yes. Should Christians be tithing? A person that asks questions like that and tries to negotiate the whole concept of the tithe really has lost sight or doesn't understand the concept of the blessing. Covenant. Everybody say covenant. Covenant. See, when you understand covenant, you go right back into the Garden of Eden. You will find it's there. Remember, God created Adam. He said, everything is yours. You can eat of any tree. Any tree. Eat of it freely. That includes the tree of life. So if Adam ate from the tree of life, he would never have died. He'd still be alive today. Isn't that an amazing concept? And yet God says there's one tree you will not eat from. The tree of the... Listen now. Knowledge of good and evil. Because the day you eat from that tree, you will die. In fact, we know the result of him eating from that tree. Not only does Adam die spiritually that moment, he's separated from God. The whole of creation is thrown into the curse. The whole of creation. I mean, everything is destroyed under that curse. And God says, now the earth's going to fight you. It's going to kick back. It's going to throw up thorns and thistles. That means, God, get a hold of this. It's not God who blessed, who cursed them. He said, you step out of fellowship, out of relationship with the blessing. This earth will not respond to an enemy. This earth only responds to a son of God. See, that's why people struggle and fight and toil, struggle to get ahead in life. Because this earth will fight back. It doesn't just give up its resources. But when a son of God arrives on the scene, remember Jesus? All of a sudden the earth obeys. It listens. He says, peace be still. It goes quiet. He multiplies bread and fish. He tells fish to go catch gold coins. I mean, he's controlling creation, and it responds to him. And God said, that's what you lost. The whole curse hit this creation. Man died. Now listen, if a tree is so dangerous, why put it in the garden? Is that a fair question? Oh, come on. How many of you would take a revolver, fully loaded, hammer cocked, and talk to your five-year-old and say, now, if this gun is very dangerous, it could kill you, but don't touch it. And put it down on the table and walk out the room. Oh, come on, you know what five-year-olds are like. I mean, they don't see anything now except what you said, don't touch. So why would God put something so dangerous in the garden? We would call that child abuse. We'd lock it in a safe, isn't that right? And yet this tree is open there, and God says, don't eat from it. Why would he put that there? Again, remember, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's accessible. You want good and evil, you want the knowledge, it is accessible. But when you keep me as your priority, I will guide you and I will lead you. You can get knowledge elsewhere. It's available. But if you get knowledge elsewhere, it will destroy you. See, you go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Come on, how many of us have ever decided, you know, before we were saved, maybe even after we were saved, but definitely before, you've got a very important decision to make. And that decision is going to cost you to make a wrong decision. So you do all your due diligence. I mean, you ask everybody, you get good advice, you look at the economic factors, and everything says, go, you should do that. And so you make the decision. Based on what you've seen and heard, it all makes sense. And you've got people pushing you saying this is going to work. And you've made the decision and it messed up your life. Let me see, how many ever made a decision like that? You thought it was the greatest decision and actually destroyed you. Can I see your hand? I think every one of us can put our hands up today. See, we can't trust in our own ability. And God is saying, you trust me, I'll direct your path. Adam, other knowledge is available. You stay with me, that blessing will stay alive. That tree, I believe, was the tithe. When you make sure that you acknowledge God, because you keep reading Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean on your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It's health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Look at the next verse. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Isn't that interesting that that's thrown right in there with acknowledging God in every decision? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Your increase. I'm going to increase if I follow God, but always honor Him first. And if I honor Him first, He says, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. How do you want that kind of flow, that abundance? I mean, well, you don't even have to check your bank account. You just know it's always full. I mean, I don't know about you, but when Janine and I were going through a debt time, we had so many cards, man. You go into a shop, which one's yours? And then they put it through and you kind of got a little sweat in the collar. Have you been there? They put it through, declined. Oh, I don't understand that. Try this one. Declined. Oh, I'm dull, didn't you? And then we start blaming each other, you know. Now, we all knew most of them were empty. How do you want to be in a place where you don't have to check? If there's something to be done, if you know that to move forward as a church, we need to put a deposit down on a building, we need to buy a new sound system, you say, how much? And you write it out. You don't even have to check if it's in your account. You can do it because you want to advance the kingdom of God. And he says that filled with plenty, that overflow begins with honoring God from your substance when you're acknowledging Him as your source of knowledge. And so when you look at that tree, every time Adam had desire to know good and evil, it was desirous, the Bible says, but if he said, God, that is yours. Knowledge of good and evil is with you. And that's one place I'm going to come to you for every time. And he would honor that tree. The tree would have produced fruit. He could look after it. But if he honored and gave it to God, that blessing would have stayed alive in his life. Can you see that? But of course, when he ate from it, the curse happened. God had to eject him from the garden to get him from the tree of life so that he could bring the true source of life, Jesus, to come and redeem man. Otherwise, he wouldn't live for eternity in evil. So he had to block him from that and then begin the process of bringing Jesus to the planet, all part of the covenant. So now Adam no longer had a response to give. But you notice all the way through the Bible, man's desire was to sacrifice. Cain and Abel, both sacrificing. Yet Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's was not. Why? Some people say, well, because his was a lamb. No. He said, the first fruit of all your increase. He's a garden, he's a vegetable farmer. He doesn't have animals. The Bible says that, go read it, Cain brought his offering in the process of time. Abel always brought the first. It's an immediate response. In the process of time, it's kind of like they're chatting one day and Abel says, have you partaken of sacrifice yet? No, no, I'll get there. And it was just what was left over. The one that responded immediately. In the Bible you're reading, Hebrews, he's now listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith. As a man whose offering was accepted because it was delivered by faith. Amen. Amen. So the tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to God. You can see that in Leviticus 27 verse 30. It says the tithe is the Lord's. It's holy. It's holy. Listen, if the tithe is the Lord's, technically we can't give it. Does that make sense? Tom, you got your car keys here? No, someone go. You have, do you mind if I borrow your car? You got a nice car. Is it a comfortable? Okay, so I'm going to, what's your name?
Brandy.
Brandy has lent me her car. I'm going to use it while I'm here. Is that okay? She says fine. So I get to drive the car around and I have a good time with it, take my family to different places. And it's coming to the end of our stay and we're about to leave and I'm thinking, I want to be generous. I'm a generous person. I like to give people things. Brandy's been kind to us. Maybe I can give her something in response. I'm trying to think, what can I give Brandy? I'm deciding on something. I want to really impress her with this gift. So I decide the greatest thing I can do that I can think of is give Brandy a car. So Brandy, I want to give you a car. Look at this response. Come on. If I came up to you with a car fully paid for and I handed you a key and I said, I want to give you a car and I gave you a car paid off in full, what would your response be? Oh, come on. No. Be genuine. Yeah, I thought so. So what's up with Brandy? Oh, it's your own car. So I can't give her what's already hers. I can only return Brandy's car to her. If the tithe is the Lord's, I don't give it. It's like some people, when they give it tithe, they feel like they're so important and they've done something big. And God says, about time. That was his in the first place. Are you with me? Imagine if I took Brandy's car and, you know, maybe later next week and a week time, she kind of asks Pastor Steve, have you seen Pastor Allen anyway? No, he left long ago. Where is he? Well, let's phone him. Try him out. Pastor Allen, where are you? Oh, no, we over here in L.A. We took a road trip and we're just enjoying a time. How'd you get there? Oh, I got a car. Whose car is it? Oh, Brandy gave it to me. What do you think Brandy's response would be? Would there be some tension now? There would be some tension. I mean, she was very generous in the beginning. Yeah, take it. Now, all of a sudden, I didn't quite expect this. Isn't that right? And if I came back and, hi, Brandy, how you doing? There would be a tension. There would be a problem in the relationship. And the moment I give her car back, the relationship is restored. Can you see that? See, God wants the blessing to work in your life. He wants you to abound and he wants you to increase. But he understands the devil. He knows Satan is a legalist. And he will fight you on the basis of the curse. And for someone to turn around and say, but I'm blessed, That's irrelevant. The devil wants to see, do you know that? How many of you, when you first stood in faith for healing, I remember the first time I ever stood in faith for healing was the sickest I ever got. It's like the devil comes to steal word to test if you really know what you believe.
Yeah.
Jesus said so in Mark chapter 4, verse 15. The moment the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to steal the word.
Right.
But when you return, it's like God says, I want to bless you. I want this blessing to work in your life. So he gets, remember, he gives seed to the sower, bread for food. Everything we get comes from God. Yes? So he gets it into our hands, but he builds into that his time. He puts that on top of that, puts it in your hand, and says, if you just get that back to me, just give it back to me, the moment you do, you now open the portals, if you can put it that way. You open the windows of heaven by acknowledging me first. I gave you, you acknowledge me first, now the windows open and that blessing will pour out. There's not room enough to contain it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Malachi 3 verse 10. Isn't that interesting? It's the only place God promises to deal with the devil on your behalf. You look at Jesus, he said whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The word James said, submit to God, you resist the devil, he'll flee. And he has one place God says, I will rebuke. He will get personally involved. And the other thing he says, prove me in this. You bring the tithe for what purpose? So that there's food in my house. See, it's the covenant. It keeps the word getting preached. And he says, test me. Test me. Again, the only place he opens himself for testing. Everywhere else, when the devil tried to tempt Jesus, and then he tried to get Jesus to test the word, Jesus' response was, it is written, do not test the Lord your God. Our response is to believe. And this is one area God says, go ahead, check me out. Now, I'll open those windows. You'll be blessed. There will be not room enough to contain it. I'll rebuke the devourer for you. He will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you. In other words, whatever's producing your income will keep producing income.
Amen.
You'll never be at a loss for income.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And now you're living in that blessed place. And now, as a result of being blessed, you have access to the earth. See, a farmer is not a farmer because he has seed. Anybody can go down to the co-op and buy a bag full of seeds. That doesn't make you a farmer. A farmer has to have land. And the tithe is the title deed. See, when you present that tithe to God, the earth recognizes you as a co-owner. See, an owner has far more boldness than a tenant. Can you imagine you renting an apartment and someone knocks on the door? They say, hi, I'm so-and-so from this company. And you look at their credentials, it's kind of on like a photocopied paper that's laminated, but the lamination's old and broken. I have to come in your house and fix something. You say, no, who sent you? No, the landlord sent me. Well, let me just check. So you phone, can't get hold of the landlord. What are you going to do, let the guy in? He said, no, I don't think so. He says, no, the landlord said, I had to come in today. If I don't, it's going to cost him more. And I said, you have to let me in. There's an uncertainty. You're not sure. Should I not? Yet if you're the owner, and the guy comes with the same story and says, let me into this house, you can stand there with a bowl and say, who sent you? Well, the landlord, I'm the owner. I didn't call you. Well, you've got to let me in. No way are you coming in this house. Isn't that right? See, when you lay that tithe before God, you have title deed to the earth. You're a co-owner with God. And you can drive out the enemy. No matter if the enemy comes and tells you, I have a right to your goods, you say, no, my God, I acknowledge him in all of my ways. You get out of my garden in the name of Jesus. And everything you now sow, everything you plant, that earth will respond and produce a great harvest. I'm going to live that kind of lifestyle. How do you want to live that way? Amen. We're going to make a commitment today. And I'm going to call on two groups of people here. And, you know, it's usually when we make commitments, it's a big thing, but this is something that has to be, it's a decision you make. I found my greatest leaps forward in my Christian life was when the day I make quality decisions. Sometimes you hear a word and you're and you try it out, maybe this, but the day you say, God is always right. That's a quality decision. Then I say, what if and could be and what maybe. No, God said it is. And today we want to make a quality decision. So there's two groups I want to call on. There are actually three, but I don't think there's anyone like a third. The one that says, I don't want any of this. I actually enjoy living cursed. So there are people that make those decisions. Amen. By rejecting Jesus, the person chooses the cursed life. But we know better. There's two other groups. One is you already are tithing. You've committed to the Lord, and you're going to continue. But today, revelation has come, and you recognize you have even more benefits. You see it as a covenant process. And then second group is people who have not been tithing, but you're making a choice based on the Word of God. I don't see this as a religious obligation. I don't see it as under the law. I don't see it as me trying to buy the blessing. I am a blessed person. This is a response to the covenant. I'm just starting with what is God's. I'm going to live a blessed life. And you make a decision to begin today as a tither. So those are the two. Either you're already tithing and you're going to continue, or today you're making a decision to begin, and then you're going to live the life of a blessed person under the covenant of God. If you're out of those two, would you quickly stand to your feet? I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. So if you are tithing, you would stand. Two, you're making a decision, I'm starting. Now please, don't feel pressurized. If you are a newcomer, and you're still growing in the things of God, you don't have to make this decision today. Secondly, if you come from another church, and you're visiting here, you do understand the tithe goes to your house, where you worship God. Amen? So this is for those that say, this is my house of worship. This is where I want to honor God. You're making a decision today. All right. Let me just say this before we pray, because I know there may be some people standing there right now saying, oh my, a tithe, 10%, and they're already thinking of the bread, the milk, and oh Jesus, Jesus, how are we going to do this? Here's the thing, do not lean to your own understanding. Amen. That's something I've learned. Is when God blesses you. I tried to live on 100% of my income in my own understanding, and that's why I was always in debt. But when I acknowledged God, He took the 90% further than I could with 100% with my own thinking. Amen? So trust God today. Say this, Father, thank you for your word. That word has brought faith to my heart. As a hearer, I am a believer, not just a believer, but a doer of your word. Today I respond in the name of Jesus as I thank you for providing every need. Of everything you give me, I will surely return your tithe, your 10%, to the house of God. And I know as I do this, the windows of heaven are open above me. And I am blessed. I believe that. Whatever I sow multiplies. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now just lift your hands up now. I'm going to pray over you, because here's the thing. Even if you were not a tither before, on that confession, you are now a tither. See, the day I gave my life to Jesus, I was born again. My life wasn't holy yet. I still made mistakes. But on the confession, I was saved. And on that confession, when I had opportunity to sin, I could respond in holiness. And if I did sin, I confessed it and responded in holiness. Amen. So the fact that you said you're a tither, even if you haven't tithed before, right now in the confession, the windows of heaven are open above. Of course, that means the next time you receive something, you're going to bring it. But on the basis that you are now, I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Father, you heard the word and the confession of your believer today. And they've chosen to believe your word. And so I come against every foul devourer, every spirit of debt, every spirit of lack, every spirit of poverty, and I break your hold in the name of Jesus. I destroy your works and you flee. As God resists you, I resist you in agreement together on your word. Father, you rebuke the devourer for their sake. In the name of Jesus. I speak life to their fields. I speak life to their businesses. I speak life to their investments. And every seed they sow multiplies and increases. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. I call your people blessed, prosperous, healthy. In the name of Jesus. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Shout out, I receive it. Praise God. Give him praise. Give him honor. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm going to ask just before we close here, if everybody can quickly hand out envelopes to everybody. Today we're going to do something slightly different. You're going to get an envelope. Just before you fill it with what you traditionally would have done, I want you to take that envelope, and if you made a decision to tithe, just say there, I am a tither. You're in covenant with the Most High God. Amen. I am a tither in covenant with God. And if you haven't tithed before, you can do that now. You have the opportunity. But if you don't have it yet, of course you do it in the future. But then what we want to do is, as a church, how do you know God wants you in a place where you are a demonstration to the public, where people will come rushing to serve Jesus? This hotel conference room doesn't do it. It's great for us as a family to meet here. But no matter what the enemy did to try and steal the previous building, you have a building. I said you have a building. God has an address in mind. Amen. And sometimes we just have to walk it out. But the day is coming when that address will be made known to Pastor Steve and John. And they're going to need to put down a deposit very quickly. That deposit needs to be ready. How do you say amen today?
Amen.
So we want to receive a seed today. A seed towards your new building. Amen. Whatever is received here is going to be used by this house. Be kept so that when the new property is available, and immediately launch forward into it. So sow your best seed. Now, don't just sow what you used to usually sow. Think of your future as well. How many of you have a dream that you want to see come to pass? Sow a seed that's appropriate to that. Amen. See, if you sow what you've already sown in the past, you'll keep reaping what you've always reaped. If you want to increase your harvest, you want to increase your seed. So make a decision. Amen. What I'm saying is, if you sow, you know, $100 before, sow $1,000 today. Stretch. Let's believe God that through the seed, you're going to see your new building. How do you agree with me that you have a building you can call home?
Yeah.
I see your hands. You say, yes, we have a building that we can call home. Christian Family Church, yeah. Amen. And remember, wherever you sow now, the earth responds with a bountiful harvest. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over that seed. So you can prepare it right now. Just get your seed ready. And I'm going to call increase, multiplication, blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a new day. Acceleration upon acceleration. Thank you, Jesus. Let me see. Do we have any visionaries in the house? How many of you can see a church of 1,000 people? Let me see your hand. How many can see 1,000 people? At least. Soul winners. Amen. Let's tell God this is who we are. We believe that. Amen. You got your seed ready? All right. Hold that in your hand. Father, you see the hearts of each and every person sowing today, and there are many of us here that are sowing beyond what we used to sow. But it's because we believe you. And it's because we believe you have a heart for this house. Your desire is for this house to have a home And so today I call that home. You come forth in the name of Jesus. These seeds speak to that future. And these seeds speak to a debt-free house in the name of Jesus. I believe that these seeds begin the process of multiplication and increase beyond what we could ever imagine. I call these seeds blessed. Now earth responds to that. Angels, you've heard the word of God. You go forth now, bring in these harvests. Bring in these harvests. Bring in these harvests in the name of Jesus. I pray supernatural recognition, Father, that through wisdom, people will see opportunities they've never seen before. I thank you that even in this week, contracts will be signed. They're going to bring in multiplied thousands of dollars. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for supernatural opportunities, promotions, bonuses. In the name of Jesus. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord Jesus praise. Thank you. You can go ahead and speak. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Now, I wanted to say something about Pastor Allen. Is anyone ready to give? Does anyone need some more time? Thanks for your enthusiasm today.
Ready?
If there's anybody that I know that practices what he preaches, it's this couple here. Last year, their church gave our church $25,000. They sent us $15,000 and then another $10,000. Now, you grew up religious home, would you say? You grew up going to a very religious church.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you had a problem with giving.
Yeah.
You had an issue with tithing.
Seriously, yes.
Right? And you told me that the first time that you went to Christian Family Church,
yeah.
I think you went there because, tell the story, what happened?
Well, what happened was, in that church that I grew up in, was so religious. My parents got divorced and my father wasn't a churchgoer, but my mother always made sure we were in church. She was a praying woman. And my parents got divorced. The church turned their back on my mother. My father never went there, but she was always there. And I thought, how could they do that? And that was the age of 17. And it made me so angry with religion, I turned against it violently. I mean violently. I went out of my way to talk against Christians. So in time, my mom got saved and Dr. Theo's ministry, and she kept trying to invite us. And then my whole concept was that all the church wants is your money. I know you've never heard that before, but that's what I used to think that. All they want is my money. So that was the number one thing I was against and everything else. And so Janine, my wife, had a disease called fibrous dysplasia. I won't go into the Old Testament there. But Dr. Theo prayed for Janine, an area pastor in the church, and she was miraculously healed, so much that a doctor said it's not medically possible. He looked at x-rays that showed her healed, and he used those terms. He says, this is not medically possible, but I can't operate on this x-ray. And that was when I recognized a God that reached through my blasphemy, through my anger, and healed my wife. Without even a guarantee, I'd say thank you. I said, I don't know who this other church was talking about, but this God I want to know.
Amen.
And I gave my life to Jesus that day. And I said to Janine, I don't know where to go to church. The best place is to go where the miracle happened. So we went back to Dr. Theo's church. And now it's the first Sunday I'm in church on purpose. And what do you think Dr. Theo taught on? Tithing. I mean, I couldn't believe it. He got up and he started teaching, turned to the Bible, he started teaching. I looked at Janine, I said, look at this. The first Sunday I'm in church, he wants my money. It's like everything I thought was confirmed. And of course we understand that's the devil. So I looked at my Bible and I said, I didn't say it out loud, I got more respect than that. But I said, I don't want to be conned here. I want to see this from the Word of God. Because the one thing that this other church did teach me was if it's in the Bible, do it. If it's not, don't. I don't know why they didn't always do that. But, you know. But I wanted it in the Bible. And of course, Dr. Thea taught line upon line, precept upon precept. I looked at the scripture. I went, okay, that's one to you. Keep going. He went through second scripture, third scripture. Halfway through the message, I turned to my wife. I said, I don't know how we're going to do this, but today we start tithing. And that night, I went home that afternoon, worked out what the tithe was. I coughed and spluttered because, I mean, we were in so much debt we couldn't even pay attention. So we had to try and get ourselves out of debt. That check was enough for car payment plus a whole bunch of other stuff. But I went back to church that Sunday and we put that in. And I've never looked back from that day. We've seen God's hand on our lives.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I just want, because sometimes people hear the preacher, you don't realize we've been where you're at right now. Came into that church broke, in debt, all these credit cards. Janine had an incurable illness, couldn't have children, and yet God has blessed them with children. You're healthy, you're healed, you're a blessing. God has blessed you financially. How many homes do you own? They own 5 homes, they rent them out. Listen, man, this works. How many of you believe the Word of God works? So I want to thank Pastor Alan and Pastor Janine for coming and ministering and being such good friends to us and sowing into our life and sowing into this church.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And did the ushers already come by today? Alright, so this offering today, what you're giving, is we're giving toward getting in our next building, in a new building. Is there anyone here would like to get in our own building? One, two, three, four. How many of you know, thank God for the hotel, it's wonderful, but we're just here temporary. God has another building for us. How many of you believe that the Bible says that God can take what the enemy meant for your harm and turn it around for your good? In other words, when I look back and say, oh well, you know, we had a building, we lost the building, I believe God is taking what the enemy meant for our harm and turn it around for our good. In other words, when we look back and you say, it's good that happened, but if that wouldn't have happened, if that hadn't happened, then this wouldn't have happened. I believe God's giving us a better building in a better location in the name of Jesus. Will you believe with me for that? Amen? I mean, the setup team, they get here 6:30 every Sunday morning. I'm sure they'd love to have us in the building where we don't have to be setting up all of this every week. And this year, we're going to be in a building. God is leading us. God is guiding us. So this offering is going toward that. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I thank you that you are El Shaddai. You're the God who is more than enough, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you provide all of our needs. I thank you, Lord, that you said as we give, you would cause me to give back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Thank you for multiplying the seed that is being sown today. Thank you for bringing great harvest of blessing into people's lives, into this church. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the honor, we give you all the glory for everything that is said, for everything that is done, in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ushers, I want to ask you right now, go right ahead, please, and receive that the offering baskets today. Thank you for doing that. Now, next week, I will be back preaching again. If you wondered if I'm ever going to be preaching again, I am going to be. Next week, I'm going to be talking about God's way to make you great. God's way to become great. God's way to make your life count on this earth. And so it's called God's Way to Greatness next Sunday. And how many of you have your 20 people card in your Bible? Do you have your 20 people card? Because I want to ask you to take out that 20 people card. Because we want to pray right now over the people in our 20 people card. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Say this, say, God has called me to make disciples. Say, I have been chosen, and I have been called, and I have been anointed to reach others for the kingdom of God. Say this, say, I'm not going to heaven alone. I'm taking as many people with me as I possibly can. Say, I'm going to let my light shine in this world of darkness. Say, Jesus is the light of the world, and He is within me. I want you to take that card out right now, and we're going to pray. Say this, say, Father, I pray for every person on this list today. It is your will that everybody would be saved. You don't want anybody to be lost. So I pray for their salvation. I claim them for your kingdom. I pray that you would surround them with believers wherever they go. Say, I take authority over every demonic spirit that would blind their minds to your gospel. Devil, you loose them, and I believe that they are saved. Say, Lord, I thank you for using me to speak to them, to minister to them. Thank you for filling me with boldness in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want you to just bow your heads as we close the service in prayer, family. Just close your eyes. Lord, we thank you today that you are good. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that you are our provider. You said that as we acknowledge you in all of our ways, that you would direct our path. Thank you for directing our path, directing our footsteps in Jesus' name. While you have your heads bowed and while we have our eyes closed, we never ever dismiss or end the service without giving people the opportunity to make sure that all is right and all is well between them and God. And I want to pray for you this morning. Any person who's here today and you are not sure where you stand with the Lord, you're not sure if all is right between you and God, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know without any doubt, if you died today, you know you would go to heaven? You are sure about that? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. And I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you sure? Are you certain? Can you say that you know beyond the shadow of any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, I hope so. Listen, the good news is you can walk out of here today and you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. You can walk out of here today and you can know for certain that all is right, that all is well between you and God, that every sin, every mistake you've ever made, it's forgiven and it's washed away. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you sit, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God. While we have our heads bowed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. I want to make sure that I go to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure all is right, all is well with me and the Lord. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly right now, just slip your hand up high, lift your hand up, say, yes, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Just put it up high. Anyone else? Pray for me, Pastor Steve. your hand is up, you're included in this prayer. I want those people who lifted your hand, please say this prayer with me. Say this out loud. Church, let's say this prayer with me today. Everybody say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your only Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess that Jesus is Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. I do this today. Say this, say, I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. Make me your child. Because today, I surrender my life to you. And I confess, Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. And I thank you. Say, I thank you because I have received you. And I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is now my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Give God a hand of praise. We do that this morning. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person comes to Christ. All of heaven rejoices. There's a party in heaven. God bless you today. We love you today. Were you blessed today? Well, next Sunday, I want to encourage you. Don't miss that. God's way to greatness. Bring a friend with you next week. God bless you.